The power of museums and how relevant they are isn't exactly up for debate, but some have wondered how active those community spaces and their leaders need to be when it comes to addressing the issues of our time. The ASU Art Museum, for one, has been awarded a grant related to it being involved in the fight for, quote, meaningful and lasting criminal justice reform, end quote. So can museums still affect change in society? And if they can, then how? With me to talk about that is Elizabeth Merritt, Vice President of Strategic Foresight at the American Alliance of Museums and Founding Director of the Center for the Future of Museums. Elizabeth, what are some ways for museums to not only remain relevant, but to have an impact in society? And does it have anything to do with bringing new people into museums?
It's more about the focus and intent of how museums are tackling things. For many years when I was entering the museum field, a lot of the language was about museums should be convening places for discussions. But more and more museum people are saying it has to go beyond the sort of passive role of convening. Dan Yeager, he's the director of the New England Museums Association, he referred to the convening discussions as weak tea. And he said all museums should be social activists. Because if you really are trying to use the power you have to make the world a better place, it requires saying what's wrong with our communities now, what are the challenges they're facing, and how can we help them fix that?
When we think about making meaningful change, does there need to be direction for that? If we have, for example, an art museum that gives people examples of what's going on in the world or a culture they're not as familiar with, a nation they're not as familiar with, is there something where there needs to be some sort of guidance, or can it be open to interpretation? Because I was thinking about the activism aspect of it. I would almost feel like leaving it too open-ended might be a situation where someone might not learn as much as they could otherwise.
Well, really, what issues a museum tackles arise from the deep DNA of their mission. What are they set up to do? What are they positioned to do? What is at the heart of what they're trying to do with their resources? And also the needs of the community. So, for example, some museums are explicitly focused on social justice issues. So you have the Museum of Homelessness and the Migration Museum in London, or the Equal Justice Initiative's New Legacy Museum in Montgomery, Alabama, which is looking at slavery and mass incarceration. So sometimes the museum is specifically founded to look at that thing. But for other museums, they often find that what they look at arises from their history. The Jane Addams Hull House Museum in Chicago is founded in one of the original settlement buildings that Jane Addams formed to help house immigrant communities. And her work was about public health and education and free speech and fair labor practices and immigrant rights. And the museum today still focuses on those things because it's what they inherited from the woman who they honor through their interpretation.
Is it possible that any museum with the right direction can affect change regardless of what, in fact, their initial mission is?
That's actually a really interesting question, and it's something the field is grappling with now. Recently, the Minneapolis Museum of Art started a project called Museums as Sites for Social Action, Mass Action. And they created a toolkit of resources for museums saying, how can my museum be used as a site for social action to try and help museums work through those issues of what can we do and how would it work here?
I want to come back to this concept of the museum as gathering place, or whether it's weak tea or not. How much of that is vital to a general mission, the idea that a community can gather, however large the community may be? Because I was wondering about the concept even of online museums. Does that in any way get away from the social justice aspect of it, or the activist aspect of it? Or in this age of social media, does that take us to a different place?
It does in a pretty deep way. Because you mentioned being online, I would reframe that more generally as being digitally engaged.
Okay.
So if you look at the last 100 years of museums, one arc that you'll see is that parallels what's happening in society with journalism, including radio. We're moving from a point in the last century when museums were one of a set of authorities saying, here's what you should know, and here's what we think we should tell you, and come listen to us as experts, to a place where they're saying, let's empower you to raise issues that are important. Let's be a place where you can use our resources to create solutions that work for you. What digital has done is it's empowered that kind of two-way communication and community engagement online as well, so that instead of just a museum, if it just was creating the digital equivalent of 20th century communications, it might say, we're going to send out tweets giving you facts you might want to know, or we're going to have Facebook posts about good stuff. But instead, they've also used it as a way of creating community. So it's a way of saying, what do you think, what do you believe, what's important, what do you have to contribute?
What if a museum faces backlash for having a certain activist bent, or at least an activist bent seen by some who have a certain hard-line perspective on something?
You know, that's interesting, because it often is a concern, particularly for boards of trustees, because they are the stewards of a museum's resources and reputation. And they often approach particular issues of, shall we take a stand on this? How shall we address it? Very cautiously. I was very impressed by the story of the Eastern State Penitentiary outside Philadelphia, which used to be a pretty traditional historic site. So people would come to see Al Capone's cell, or they'd come to see the escape tunnel that Willie Sutton made in 1945. But in 2016, they actually rewrote their mission statement to remove the word neutral, which they felt in the end was really an excuse for them to avoid thorny issues of race or poverty or policy. And the board said, no, we're ready to go from a position that we felt was neutral, though of course it really wasn't. It was just reflecting dominant mainstream thinking. And the board said, we're going to actually be more active. They opened a new main exhibit that's called Prisons Today, Questions in the Age of Mass Incarceration. And the lead sign, which is enormous, reads, mass incarceration isn't working. That's taking a position. And they created a really dynamic experience to help people grapple with a very difficult subject. So and that's an interesting example, because there actually was a graduate student, Faith McCreary, who studied three historic prisons, including Eastern State, that had taken a social activist approach. And they found that all three actually had increases in visitorship and revenue since they started their social justice work. At Eastern State, their attendance went up 20% in the months following the new exhibit's debut. And when you talk to the staff at those institutions, they say that despite their fears, the shift towards socially meaningful content actually enhanced their reputation in the public eye.
Elizabeth Merritt is Vice President of Strategic Foresight at the American Alliance of Museums. She's also founding director of the Center for the Future of Museums.